Luke 9, 23 to 25 read, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me a musical genius. It is Mike Schaus. Mike, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm a Faith Bibler as well.
Yeah.
The words of words
Jordan,
of Mickey.
Jordan, yeah.
Oh my goodness, I love that phrase. Faith Biblers.
We're going to make that stick. He's going to make that stick. Well, we're continuing our quarterly focus on discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And I've titled today the Via Dolorosa.
I had to ask you what that meant. I have no idea.
You don't throw Latin around like that, Mike?
I do not.
Me neither. But the Via Dolorosa has traditionally been used. It's the painful way, referring to Christ with his cross on his way to be crucified outside Jerusalem. But also the path that we walk as Christians, because this Luke 9 passage, Jesus says if we want to follow him, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. That's what we're talking about today. We talked about self-denial last week. Really, the taking up of the cross is actually just a word picture for the exact same concept. Denying yourself. That's what it means to take up your cross. I wanted to start, though, because the interesting thing is with a cross, today, 2,000 years after the event, crosses in our culture are a positive thing, actually. I mean, you have jewelry with crosses.
They're hip.
They're hip. Tattoos.
Oh, my goodness.
So if it's on decoration. It's on decor in homes. So when we see a cross today, we're not like revolted. We go, oh, that's lovely. That would not have been the response of people 2,000 years ago. So how would that be different in Jesus' day when he actually said these words? How was the view of the cross different back then?
Yeah, it would definitely have been different, right?
Yeah.
We're not executing people by the cross anymore. If that was the case, I doubt so many people would be wearing them around their necks anymore. Yeah. As you know, that cross is an example of extreme suffering. Mm-hmm. Right, to be executed probably the worst way possible. I mean, very, very painful. So you can help me out with this. Mm-hmm. The Heidelberg Confession, right? Because I've been watching Luther all day. I told you this. You know,
yeah.
We are almost at Halloween. So tomorrow's the day, right? And so I've been watching it in class. I teach history at a public school. And so we're watching that movie Luther. And I was thinking about the Heidelberg Confession. And isn't that the Heidelberg Confession where, I mean, I know Luther didn't write it. It was these two guys. But wasn't it his views of Protestantism? Like, so what is it you're teaching? And he's kind of putting this into thought.
It was his right-hand man, Melanchthon.
Yeah.
Because Luther was the guy who came in guns blazing and blew everything up, you know, and Melanchthon followed him and tidied. And so Melanchthon was responsible for a lot of the writing of that. Luther actually was not a part of the deliberations. He wasn't there while it was being presented to the princes for acceptance, or maybe to the emperor for acceptance. But he was corresponding with Melanchthon, but telling him, hey, stand your ground. But it was really Melanchthon's work, yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking about that, the Heidelberg Confession with that, watching this movie, it kept popping in my head. And so I went through it and I was reading it. And can I read one?
Yeah, for sure.
So this is, I think this is number 3 of the Heidelberg Confession. "Although the works of God always seem unattractive and appear evil, they are nevertheless really eternal merits." And so I was thinking about people in this time period would have seen the cross as, oh my gosh, you know, your Savior is a failure. He's executed in the most painful, excruciating way. And it seems like a loss, but we know what the cross actually opened up for all of us.
Wow, that's what a great connection. What a good history. Also a historical genius for those curious.
Yeah. I'm a genius in nothing, except for sin. I'm pretty good at sinning.
Yeah,
I'm, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Luther, one of the things he really emphasized was that there are two kinds of theologians. There are theologians of glory, and there are theologians of the cross.
That's what he talks about, like 19, 20, and 21. He gets that's the last one. The theologian of the cross is one that, I forget what it says, but it's beautiful, yeah.
It's the same concept of what you said there, where in his day, the Roman Catholic Church, attached as it was to the political powers, was so rich. I mean, kings were kissing the Pope's toe, there was gold everywhere, fancy dress. So on the outside, as a peasant, German peasant, and you see a procession of these very clean, fancy, rich church people, you go, obviously they're of God, because look at them, they look like angels.
Yeah.
And then over here in the other corner is a stinky, dirty little monk, Martin Luther, and the whole world's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And you would naturally think, well, he's not from God, because look at him, you know, he's not rich, he's poor, he's pale, he's, you know, everyone's trying to kill him. And, but that's,
Not everyone.
That's true. Frederick.
German people loved him.
Frederick was wise.
A lot of people loved him. Yeah.
Frederick was wise, and he protected him. But that was what Luther was getting at. Is, you know, God has turned wisdom on its head. The world's wisdom, he turned it upside down. And so the cross, or a life that is cruciform, that is shaped by the cross, it looks terrible. It looks because the cross is violent, gross, gritty, bloody. I have a quote here from Cicero, the ancient Roman orator, who said, "Let the very word cross be far removed from not only the bodies of Roman citizens, but even from their thoughts, their eyes, and their ears." Mm. Terrible thing. We don't even think about it. And now here you and I are, these many years later, and our whole lives are shaped by the cross. And on the outside, it looks horrible. Why would you live a life of self-denial? That's just the worst. You could be living it up. But this is really the way of glory, and we know that.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Well, with that discussion in view, if someone were to say, okay, I hear Jesus saying I got to take up my cross and follow him, how do I even know if I'm doing
that? Mm.
What does that really mean for me to take up my cross and follow him?
What does it really mean? Man, to deny yourself?
Mm.
Yeah. The cross. How do you know if you're denying yourself? Man, that's a tough one. Because, I mean, we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Maybe an easy way to think of it is, how do you know if you're denying yourself in your marriage?
Oh, that's a good one. That is a great one. Yeah. You have to do it all the time. I mean, putting others first, not thinking of your own interest. You know, I don't want to wash those dishes, but I don't want her to have to wash those dishes. So I'm going to wash those dishes, right? Which I know she's listening to. She's going to be like, he never washes those dishes.
Yeah. Now you have to. You said it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm really good at loading the dishwasher.
Baby steps.
Yeah, but the almost everything we have is dishwasher. I'll try to buy everything dishwasher safe because I don't like washing hand washing dishes. But, you know, I have to do it. I have to do it.
Self-denial. You know, I just think, okay, here I am living my life in any area of my life, marriage, as a husband, father, as a worker, whatever. And there are things that I, all by myself, just want. There are things I just want. And some of them are good. I want to be respected. I don't want to be disrespected. I'd like to be respected. You know what I'd like? I'd like all the kids to be quiet at the end of the day so I just sit and read. I want that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd like that. So there are things I want, and they're not all bad. Some are bad, but many of them are just normal. However, I have decisions to make in my life, you know. Do I try to enforce the want of my kids being quiet by neglecting them? Send them all in another room and lock it, and I will read my book. Now, I would get what I want. The problem is God wants me to raise my children in the fear and discipline of him. So then I have to make a choice. Do I do what I want to do, or do I do what God wants to do? And sometimes those line up, and what I want is what he wants. Fantastic. But this taking up the cross is the many times where they don't line up, and they're mutually exclusive. And I've just got to, you know, maybe I want to say something sharp to my wife. I just want to, you know. I know it won't help. It's not going to help nothing.
Why would you want to do that? Your wife is awesome. Come on, Michael.
You need to show up in that moment and remind me of that. Yeah. So if I want to say something sharp to my wife, it's not going to help anything. I just want to because I'm sinful. So there I am. I want to do it. And I know God says, put that all away. Put away clamor, slander. Put away malice. Put on kindness. Mm. So what I want to do and what God wants me to do are clashing. Self-denial, taking up the cross, is I take the cross up with what I want to do and I just kill it. It just dies. And then I do what God wants. And it's painful business. It hurts, you know. It makes sense. It's the right thing to do. But it can really hurt in the moment. But that's why he uses a picture of a cross, so that we don't misunderstand him. It's going to hurt. It's gotta hurt.
Mm.
Crosses hurt. That's the whole point. I did want to ask you this question too, Mike.
It's good.
So describing that, like, self-denial of my will to choose what God wants, there's a cross. That's a little different than the way that taking up your cross is used kind of culturally, even in Christian circles. I'd say a lot of the time when we say my cross to bear, we're just referring to a hard thing happening in my life. It could be cancer. It could be a wayward child. And I just say, that's my cross to bear. Is that a right way for us to use that phrase?
My cross to bear.
Are those crosses to bear, my wayward child and my cancer diagnosis?
No. Yeah. Yeah, we all go through trials, right? We all go through trials. But like you were saying, the key there is denying yourself in that situation. You know, we were talking before this about anxiety. You know what I mean? And I was telling you, you know, I get, man, it just seems like here recently, as I get older, I don't know what it is, but I really struggle with it more and more. The anxiety is not my cross to bear. That's my sin. You know what I mean? My cross to bear is how I deal with that anxiety, right? How I choose to deal with it is I meditate on scripture. I think of, you know, certain verses. I go through them over and over again, and I ground myself in that. I know that this is what I need. Or, you know, so like I was telling you the other day, this is like a while back, kids, you know, I'm at the end of the day, seventh period, teaching history. And it was just like crazy, off the hook. I don't know what was happening that day, full moon, I don't know. But they were like, it was just like, what is going on? You guys are crazy. And so the day I was in a bad mood. I was in a really bad mood. And I only live, you know, usually I could walk to work. I think this day I drove, but it was just like, man, I can't go home like this because I'm going to take, as you said, you know, why would I take it out of my wife? My wife is also amazing, but we do that, right? So I was like, I can't do this. So I just had to find something to renew my mind with. And, you know, usually scripture, but this time I like listening to sermons. Sermons are like my big things. Like if I can't sleep at night, one of the things I love to do is listen to sermons. And so on this day I was listening to, I was telling you, I think it's David. David Martin Lowe Jones.
Is that the D? It's D. I think it's David.
Anyway, it was his, it's old recording, you know, obviously, on Genesis 32. The man who wrestled, like the way it says, wrestled with God. And so the first part's like all garbled up, but you finally gets clear. You can hear it. And then like, you know, just listening to this message, you know, Jacob, here's Jacob. And, you know, he's wrestling with God. He's going through this and he's not going to stop until he gets this blessing. And, you know, and God touches his hip. I think this is a sermon where he says, you know, every Christian whose experience is true joy walks with a limp. So he's talking about, you know, he crushes his hip, but he gets that blessing. One of the best things about that passage of scripture is that we don't get to hear what the blessing is. It does, you know, I mean, it's an audible blessing. We know he blesses him, but we don't know what he told him. It'd be awesome to know. But anyway, you're thinking about it now, it even gets me fired up. You know, thinking about, you know, what a beautiful message and just the impact that verse. It changes our mindset. Now I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
Instead of what, like you said, you want to go home. You want to just like, I want to take this out. People need to know how bad my day was, you know.
What a perfect example of self-denial, making the choice. It's harder, but you know that sitting there and listening to that sermon, you just know that God wants that for Mike Schaus more than taking it out on your wife.
He does not want that. Yeah,
he doesn't want that.
He's like,
that.
Looks like I'm going to have you suffer a little more, man. You're going to have, you obviously haven't learned it yet.
Yeah. Well, yep. That's good. Well, what a good example. Well, taking up our cross. Thank you, Mike, for helping us understand this.
Thank you, Bryce, for helping me understand myself.
Oh, well, you who are listening to this, maybe in the past you have just thought about your cross as just any suffering you're encountering without regard to how you choose to respond to it. Or maybe it's just been a season where things have been easier and you've kind of lightened up on self-denial. Whatever the case might be, may God help us all now to think